This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a Sports Ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Make sure you subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening to it on. Hit that thumbs up button and all that good stuff. And send us the feedback on the show. Any topics you'd like to see covered, and you could do that for myself at Aaron Brewski or at Ethos Fantasy NBA or at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A. And with that out of the way, let me welcome in Steve Dr. A. Alexander. We're talking Utah Jazz today. But the listeners must know, when you get up to the counter at the ice cream shop and the pressure is on, what are you ordering, good sir?
Mine's a weird one. Chocolate almond. Just some chocolate with some almonds in it.
Chocolate almond. Yeah, I don't know how this happened. I'm a pistachio guy now, and I guess that's okay.
I like a good pistachio.
It's the foundation of all sorts of fancy stuff out there. You know, they're using pistachios in pastries. Using pistachios, obviously, in ice cream, and you mix it with something else and tease it up. But, you know, I always feel like it's just not good enough. You know, when I'm up there ordering, there's something else on the menu that's got to be better, and I just can't figure it out. And then the pressure's on, and I fail. Okay, before we get into things, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Today we're talking about the Utah Jazz, and tomorrow we will be doing the Brooklyn Nets season in review, where we get to ask Doc to give us the 30 for 30 on trying to outshoot Ben Simmons from the foul line blindfolded. The Utah Jazz is kind of just known for being boring. I mean, there's a cottage industry surrounding making fun of going to Utah on game nights constantly for years in that sort of 8 seed, and really was the poster child for not doing that anymore as tanking and all of that came into fashion a decade or so ago. Kind of a boring team here. I alluded to that in the open, and we're going to talk Colin Sexton and John Collins a lot, right? What, when you think of the Utah Jazz, what was the first thing that hit your mind as you were getting prepped up for today's show?
that's a great question. I think I was thinking about the night that Karl Malone gave me his shoes in his rookie season, along with his teammates, Bobby Hansen and Rich Kelly and Mark Eaton. I got 4 pairs of shoes in one night. That is a personal record.
That's crazy. I swear, I've known you for a very long time, Doc, and I get a new story. Like, it just blows my mind. So, okay, so you have a Mark Eaton shoe somewhere floating around?
I have a pair of Mark Eaton shoes, size 17s.
17s.
You think they'd be bigger?
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like that was going to be like a 23 or something that came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But 17? Huh. Mark Eaton. How the hell does he balance himself? That doesn't make any sense. How did you get those shoes, sir?
I don't remember Mark Eaton handing his shoes to me. I was all wrapped up in trying to get Karl Malone's. And it's interesting that you ask. We did not rehearse this. So I got Rich Kelly and Bobby Hansen, who went to Iowa, and I got Mark Eaton. I got all of them gave me their shoes at Market Square Arena. And Karl Malone had promised me his shoes before the game, and he never came out of the locker room. So I was like, Have you guys seen Mailman? Somebody's like, oh, I think he's back of the bus. So me and my six ginormous shoes start running back to the hotel. And I get there and the bus is there and Mailman is not on it. I mean, what the hell? And there's this black Mercedes with dark windows parked right in front of the bus. And I go over there and I asked somebody, I'm like, is Mailman in there? They're like, yeah, he's going to dinner. And I was like, oh, so I knock on the window and Mailman rolls the window down. I'm like, dude, you said you were going to give me your shoes. And I look in the car and Wayman Tisdale's driving. So Wayman is driving Mailman to dinner. And I had ripped on Wayman Tisdale pretty hard to Mailman, telling Mailman how we should have drafted him over Wayman and Wayman's trash and he's awesome. And then Mailman looked at me. He's like, dude, I'm going to dinner right now with Wayman. These are the only shoes I have. And he's wearing his game shoes. And I'm like, okay, don't worry about it. So I start to walk away. He goes, hey, man, come here. He's like, what's your name? And I said, Steve. So he goes, I'm going to leave these at the front desk of the hotel for you. You can come get them tomorrow morning. I'm like, okay. Kind of to myself, I'm like, whatever. So I got up in the morning, called the Hyatt or the Westin downtown. And asked the lady, I'm like, is there a huge pair of shoes back there with the name Steve on them? She's like, yep. I went down and picked them up.
There's so much to this story, and I know we got to probably just do a stories podcast at some point in time to catch people. Like, okay, so you can't even imagine that happening in today's day and age. Like, just no chance, right?
None of my shoe stories could ever possibly happen in the last 20 years.
And you're just kind of roaming around Market Square Arena. Like, you know, the layout, it's like, it feels like the ushers all know you. And
I'm like just a 15 year old kid just running through the streets of downtown Indianapolis at midnight.
Just wreaking havoc, getting all the shoes,
stalking NBA players, bugging them.
Like, they know you by first name. Steve, go to the hotel. I got your shoes for you.
The Pacers all knew our names. Like, there were like three of us little shoe collector kids. They knew us pretty well, and they would actually make a schedule, like, all right, man, you get my shoes next game, you get them after this game, and then you get them, you know, in March after the Knicks game or whatever.
That's just fascinating. I like, especially when you think about today, like, anything having to do with that would be just completely sanitized through the PR department and, you know, just not even close to what, and I was going to say authentic. That's probably not the right word, but, you know, that was just the way it was back then. It was just easy rolling and you guys are having a lot of fun and the players are having fun with it.
And the crazy thing about Mailman is he was a rookie. It was his rookie season and he was wearing Akeem Olajuwon Etonics, the Akeem shoe, except it was neutral, so it was just gray and white. And then he took a purple marker and colored in like the logo and something else on the shoe. And he colored it in himself. And I don't even know that the equipment managers dealt with their shoes back then at all. But, you know, of course, later on, he signed with LA Gear and had a big contract with LA Gear. And I think he was also wearing Converse at some point. But yeah, his first, the first year, he was probably just wearing whatever shoes he could find.
I mean, now players have a shoe for like the first half and a shoe for the second half. And they change shoes because they feel like, they've got a bad luck shooting the ball. And this guy's out here putting markers on his shoes, just like we all used to back in the day. That's crazy. I think I saw LA Gear at like Target or something the other day, and I had a 25-year flashback. I'm having it again here right now. I think they also made hair gel, but maybe I'm wrong on that one. This is fascinating stuff. We're going to have to keep doing that. I love it. You know, not your average team preview. You know, your average team preview is not going to have that.
Believe it or not, I was not thinking about John Collins, Lauri Markkanen, and Colin Sexton when I thought about the Utah Jazz.
as if we don't want to talk about these guys and we just want to talk about Steve's, you know, running around as a 15-year-old at Market Square Arena. I'll do that, actually. That's the end of the preview, folks. Have a nice day. I mean, this team is like, there was actually a beginning, a middle, and an end that they had. The beginning, they kind of sucked. And then in the middle of the season, they just really hit the gas. I forget what their win streak was at that point in time. And then they closed the season out on an equivalently bad. It was like 25 out of 30 losses to end the year. So they were in play-in contention there for a little bit. Will Hardy, I actually took a coach of the year bet on him, hit on Mike Brown the year before and won like 40-1 on a big fat bet. It was great. Thought, hey man, this is actually possibly going to work out. And then no chance at all. So I don't know how that colors the season for these guys. It feels like they really kind of ran this crew out that's at the top of their rankings most nights. But outside of Colin Sexton and John Collins, I mean, it's really largely a disappointing fantasy season for this crew. At the top of the list was Walker Kessler. He finished at 103 in 9 cat leagues with just one turnover per game. And you sort of expect that out of a center like him. That's just a terrible season. 64 games played. Never really sure what was up with him. In the beginning of the season, there was a mysterious elbow injury that hit the radar, and then it kind of went away, and then he was back on the court for most days. I think everybody at that point in time was super disappointed already, so they felt like maybe they were playing with house money a little bit, hoping that he would get back on track, and it just never really happened for him. 2.4 blocks per game out of him, 8.7.5 boards, 65% shooting from the field, so all of that sort of in line with what you expected, but just 23 minutes per game. I couldn't tell if this was all injury related or what was going on with him. I know they kind of wanted him to stop shooting threes a little bit, and I don't know if that maybe just made him super one-dimensional, and then they couldn't, they couldn't make any space for him in the lineup. They didn't feel like they had a good look with him, that he was killing spacing or whatever. What's your read on the Walker Kessler situation as we kick this Utah Jazz preview off, or review, I should say?
Well, no offense to your failed bet, but I blame it all on the coach. I don't know how you can't find a way to use Walker Kessler on both ends of the court. And, you know, the year prior, he was like third or fourth round fantasy player. And last year, he didn't do anything except block shots. And that just wasn't enough. And the minutes, I mean, some nights it was 18 minutes, some nights it was 20, some nights it was 22. Like, it just made no sense to me. I never understood it. This team should have been tanking out of the gate instead of waiting until halfway through the season to do it. I just thought the Walker Kessler thing was a disaster. I felt bad for him. And, you know, I wasn't in, unlike back in Indianapolis in 1984, I didn't have behind the scenes access to all these guys. I didn't walk all the way from Market Square Arena to the Hyatt with Walker Kessler to get his take on what was going on within the organization. But just from an outsider's point of view, I just feel like they got mad at him and didn't play him. And I don't know what was going on, but I feel it was a huge mistake, and Walker Kessler should have been handled completely differently than he was in Utah last year.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I want to deploy you, Steve, in this role of walking up and befriending NBA players and asking them why they're not getting minutes and actually getting the right answer. You know, so we know on the ground, I think that would be effective. I think Walker would have totally told you that coach doesn't believe in me and isn't playing me. And then how that looks, you know, sometimes with this stuff, and even with big men, I've noticed this is actually, I've had this thought with the big men more often, is teams are trying to retain their young players. And sometimes you feel like they're purposely withholding their minutes so they don't gather a bunch of attention on the open market. You know, in Walker Kessler's situation contractually, you know, I don't have it off the top of my head, but like that's probably, you know, some part of this. You know, you're Utah, you have a hard time retaining free agents and you're kind of iffy on his play. Maybe there's an injury concern and it's like, okay, we're just going to categorize you as a situational big man and we're going to move you into the starting lineup when we feel like that's a good idea. We're going to move you to the bench when we feel like that's a good idea. And at no point in time are we going to just commit to you for 30 minutes per game. Or the injury situation with him is more than we know in a small market. That's, to me, that's the only explanation that on this roster, unless you want to just say that he and Lauri Markkanen cannot play together, which is pretty limiting if you're going to say that, because Lauri Markkanen can shoot the ball extraordinarily well. Walker Kessler should theoretically be able to protect the rim in situations that Lauri Markkanen's getting exposed side to side. John Collins is one of your more athletic, you know, forwards. Theoretically, he should be able to cover some ground, though he's not the greatest defender. I don't know. Is there any reason in there that you think, other than they got mad at him, that it could be?
I mean, maybe he can't play with Lauri Markkanen. Maybe he didn't get along with his teammates. I really don't know. But I would have been so mad if I drafted Walker Kessler in fantasy last year, because he went from being kind of a stud his rookie year to being almost unusable last year.
And in addition to the fantasy angle too, I think it was becoming pretty well known around the league that this guy had a good upside package, you know, being at his height and length and with the quickness that he was bringing to the table. Sure, maybe he's got those young legs. Those young legs can evaporate pretty quickly. But he looked like he was on his way, even hitting a few outside shots here and there. It just felt like he had a great future second season, that is, and they just sort of collectively whiffed on it. So it'll be interesting to see where Kessler Walker goes. I guess let's play this game. Kessler Walker appears at what pick in your fantasy draft next season, and you're finally interested? What pick would that be?
Well, I think we need to see what moves Utah makes. You know, Twitter told me that Lauri Markkanen may be a perfect fit for Golden State and might be on the move, et cetera. I think it depends on what happens, because like you suggested, if one of the problems is Lauri Markkanen can't play with Walker Kessler, which we don't know if that's true or not, but if that is, and Lauri Markkanen goes bye-bye, then that's going to change things up. Also, playing time, rotations, everything else. I think I still have in my mind a very high opinion of Walker Kessler. I still feel like he's going to be a stud. I feel like he's going to have a really good career and be a, you know, long-term productive NBA center. And I kind of look at last year as a fluke. So I'm thinking he should still be drafted, I don't know, like fifth or sixth round. But there's risk involved there, too, based on what happened this past season. And maybe because he was such a disaster last season, everybody's just going to let him slide, and you can get him in round seven or eight. I'm probably not targeting Kessler, but if he's sitting there when I need a center late, I'll take him. But I think if you are targeting him, I'm thinking round six or seven probably makes sense.
Man, it almost feels like the situation on the ground with him doesn't matter. Like, you start to get into the, okay, I'm late enough to where anybody with that kind of upside deserves that kind of attention. And that's before we consider, I think the fun scenario would be the one that you were alluding to. Twitter told you, always fun and dangerous. Don't listen to Twitter, folks, kids especially. But sometimes it's right, depending on the sourcing. And if Lauri Markkanen was to go, that actually, to me, is the fun scenario, because then you get this Walker Kessler is cut loose again, theoretically, because everybody thought he was cut loose last year. So the price will be higher, and now you're really playing some risk-reward. Fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, you know, when they don't pan out, they still actually do leave a mark. Eighth, ninth, tenth, obviously not so much. So Walker Kessler will be a fun one next season. Let's talk about Lauri Markkanen. I think you mentioned in a prior show that he was kind of not, you know, going to be on any of your teams. I think that might be putting it nicely. 52 finish, 23 points per game, 8 boards, 3 trays. Pretty much not much anywhere else. 90% from the foul line on 5 free throw attempts per game is awesome. But just 55 games played. That's the story on him almost every season. Yeah, probably a target of some rumors if Utah is going to, you know, try to reset the game here. I think that's going to drive everything. But let's just pretend that he's going to be in Utah. He's going to be the guy. Where do you think a Lauri Markkanen should be appropriately drafted next season?
Well, where he will be drafted is probably late in round two or sometime in round three. Where he should be drafted, in my opinion, is like round five or six, because you know he's not going to make it through more than 55 games. You know he's going to be shut down at some point. You know Utah is going to be a mess. But, man, I mean, the numbers, the last 2 years, the numbers that Markkanen is putting up are pretty awesome. And he really kind of turned into the guy that we thought he was going to be those first 5 years. It just took 5 years of mediocrity to figure it out and turn into sort of a machine. I mean, the lack of blocks, the lack of steals kind of kills his value. But he does everything pretty well. So if you're comfortable with him sitting out the final 20 games of the year and you want to draft him, would he return this year, like second round value or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can take him wherever you want. I'm personally not messing with him because I don't like guys who don't play a bunch of games.
Yeah, there's nothing that Utah is competing for anytime soon. A resetting of everything and really getting after the player development and tanking situation. I think that that's going to be in their cards for the foreseeable future. But that's really left an opening for, I mean, if you, I don't want to say this is out of, you know, this was shocking or anything. Colin Sexton finished top 65 value in 9 cat leagues. He did it on a pretty quiet 26.6 minutes per game, 18.7 points, 4.9 assists, you know, 1.6 trays. Everything else is very sparse, but great percentages, 48.7% from the field on a nice little chunk of volume, 85.9% from the foul line on a very good chunk of volume at just under 5 shots a game. So there is a way to profit off of this Utah Jazz situation. It's just trying to find which of these guys they're going to plug into that reliable player, you know, spot where they just want them there every night. And Colin Sexton was that guy. They started off with Talon Horton Tucker and just a sort of hodgepodge of guards that in the beginning of the season, maybe it was hard to buy into Colin Sexton being the guy because there's been some failure there in the past and they didn't seem so high on him. But coming out of the season with six round value, just because you kind of existed, and that's really under the radar stuff with Colin Sexton. How do you feel about Sexton's season? And then looking ahead to next year, are you going to be buying into Colin Sexton?
Probably not. He's one of those guys where he's going to produce, but he's on nobody's list. Like nobody goes into a fantasy basketball draft like, man, I'm really hoping to get Colin Sexton. Like it just doesn't happen. But like you said, he flies under the radar. He puts up numbers. He's a dynamic scorer. He's consistent. The percentages are solid. And he's going to fall to somebody in the eighth or ninth round, and he's going to be a perfect pickup at that point, especially if you need a guard.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, it really is the vanilla ice cream of fantasy basketball here. You're going to get somebody in that. I mean, Sexton was a waiver wire pickup in a lot of leagues. So, I mean, this last season, you could have gotten him in the last round. So this season, you know, as you're getting into the 10th, 11th, 12th rounds, you're going to have some, you know, sexy, you know, late round picks that everybody's trying to stash away. Colin Sexton's just going to be sitting there. And if your league knows what he was this last year, maybe he'll go a little early. But if they had no idea whatsoever, you're going to take Colin Sexton with the 12th round pick and you might double your value there. So that's great. John Collins was very similar this last season and I got him everywhere. It was not by like hope. I had actually overdrafted John Collins, I want to say for two seasons prior to that. And it really was just, here's his stats. He should play. It should kind of end up like this. And really for him, he's been pushed to the fringes for the last two to three seasons wherever he's played. And it's just been really bad like that. This season in Utah, it feels like he wasn't pushed to the fringes. And then even toward the end of the season, there was a stretch where you got to see some old school John Collins numbers where like his last 12 games, I want to say he was going for like 19-8. You know, and getting you a block a game and doing that thing we saw for really brief stretches early in his career in Atlanta. Do you buy into the idea that there's two different gears for John Collins, like guy that stands in the corner and gets no stats and then, oh, hey, John, it's now your time. Turn it on. Or is that just a little bit more random than I'm giving it credit for?
Yeah, I don't know. You look at his last year in Atlanta, he averaged 13.1 points. In Utah last year, he averaged 15.1 points. So he averaged two more points and exactly two more rebounds. So he's up from 6.5 to 8.5. Everything else was exactly the same. I I mean, it's hard for me to get excited about John Collins.
I mean, you saw him up close in Atlanta. Like, I thought he had a great playoff series along the same lines as Trae Young had some great playoff series when they were playing together. And at that point in time, I said, you know what, maybe John Collins can be pretty good in this league. But it's all been very, not necessarily downhill, but just no upside potential reached for him. What's going on with John Collins? Is he just...
I don't know, man. He had that 20-10 season in 2019, 2020. And that's when everybody was like, ooh, he's getting ready to take off. He's going to be a 25-12 guy with a couple blocks a night. And now he's a 15-8 guy with hardly one block per game. So I don't know. I think he could have gotten more opportunity in Utah than he did. He only got 28 minutes a game. I think when, as you point out, his hot streak towards the end, he was probably getting more minutes than that and making use of them. I don't dislike John Collins. He's just kind of boring, and he's just not going to blow your socks off, or at least in like 6 out of his 7 fantasy seasons, he's not going to.
It's Utah, baby. It's vanilla ice cream everywhere. It's 81 on the finish for John Collins in 68 games. So not really known for being super healthy. He's probably going to be in that range going forward. Probably your upside for John Collins is that he gets given the ball a little bit more, maybe can move himself into something of a top 60 finish. But then of course there's downside. He could just disappear. They could add a player at his position. He could be traded somewhere else. There's all sorts of things that could happen with John Collins. And I just wonder if you can get him, you know, at the 9th or 10th round and kind of give yourself the floor of what he provides and then maybe a round or two of upside, but pretty boring stuff overall.
Now I would love to get John Collins in like round 9 or 10. As I remember, it wasn't that long ago, Matt Straub was taking him in the late second round, right after that, you know, that 21-10 season with two blocks, when we all thought he was going to blow up, and it went south, went the other way. So round 9 or 10, I'm good with that. You get Colin Sexton and John Collins with your 9th and 10 picks, I think you're doing okay.
Shout out Matt Straub. Doc's out here just calling out your only your misses, no, none of your hits. You're gonna have to get with him on that. John Collins in the second round.
Well, I don't know if he took him in the second. It may have been third, but he was very high on John Collins, and we all were. I mean, it's not Matt's fault.
No, I was there too. I took those bullets as well. But yeah, that was a rough year.
It was.
And the rest of the roster is really just, you know, it's boring the rest of the way. Like Chris Dunn actually at times did some things, but you know, you're not going to get anything out of Chris Dunn. He's probably on his way out of the league very, very soon.
He's probably done.
Done, 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 done.
Hey, Bruce, did you get suckered into the Talen Horton Tucker is going to play point guard for Utah all year, and he's going to be really good? Did you get sucked into that?
I added him on a, like, I want to say I felt dirty doing it, and I also didn't want to do it, but I was like, I got to do it because this is a deep league. And what if, and it was terrible. Like, when he was producing, watching him play was one of the worst things ever. I don't know what's going on with that guy. He came into the league at 19 and had some pretty good, like, 19-year-old moments. And then it just morphed into this guy's like one of the least basketball IQ savvy people that I've seen play in a while. And I think it's just because he wanted to shoot every time. But I don't know. No, I didn't get sucked in, but I kind of did. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, same here. I kind of got sucked in. And then people started hitting me on Twitter early, like, dude, do we need to pick up Keontae George immediately and stash him? And I would look him up and look at his numbers. I'm like, no, he's not playing at all. But then about it. You got Talen Horton Tucker playing point guard. There's nobody else. We're gonna be tanking. They're gonna shut everybody down. Yeah, Keyonte George is gonna be a factor, especially in the second half. So yes, go pick him up.
And it's really tough with, you know, young players on bad teams that, you know, really his skill level is not to the extent that he's going to overcome that most nights. So 39.1% from the field, 10.9 attempts per game. That's really bad, especially when you tack on just 0.6 combined steals and blocks. And he did that in 27 minutes per game. So this is, you know, him being almost fully maxed out to some degree and not being able to deliver on those stats. There's just no upside there at all. But I think people really liked his, you know, he does have some physical tools. He does have, you know, some big poppy assist numbers. I think people, when they see assist numbers, they kind of just go bonkers and just assume that guy's got to have value. But I guess let's flip this question. What do you think Keyonte George can do this season? And should he be in the back end of the of drafts for folks?
I think in some drafts he's going to go high. I think in some drafts people are going to be like, yeah, he's going to break out this year. Like round five, round six. I'm not comfortable on George till like eight, somewhere in there. And he may go later than that in some drafts. I think he's going to be kind of all over the board. And it may be, you know, depending on who you're drafting with and who they listen to, because I know some people are very, very high on Keyonte George and other people are, you know, medium on him. I think it just depends on who you listen to is where you're going to end up. I think I'm going to need some time to really see how things shake out this summer for Utah and see what their plan is for Keyonte George. But in all reality, I mean, the starting point guard and all the point guard minutes should be his. And he should be able to build on what he did last year and have a nice season this year. So, you know, I think I'd be comfortable taking him in like round six or seven.
That's a big move right there. And it kind of reminds me of, and we're going to talk about the Chicago Bulls later this week. Ayo Dosunmu, you know, it's really hard to be a point guard in the NBA. It's really hard to be a rookie point guard on a bad team in the NBA. So, you know, the idea that a lot of these numbers could take a significant jump definitely comes into play. And especially if that field goal percentage can get figured out, we've seen players who've been sub 40 jump up to like 41, 42, 43, basically shot selection just gets a whole lot better. And then the team also gets a whole lot better and he's not doing all of that bailout stuff. So I get that's a really big question. I think as we get closer to the season, as you're alluding to, we're going to get more clarity on what's going on with the Utah Jazz. As that happens, Keyonte George probably becomes the focus of quite a bit of discussion. And depending on who you're listening to, of course, that probably pushes him up the draft boards. All right. I think that's enough Utah Jazz talk because we got a lot of these that we're going to be doing this week. And we don't want to empty the clip here too long on these podcasts. I want to try to keep them nice and short for you guys. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. And one more time, I want you guys to humbly I would like to humbly ask you, I should say, to like and subscribe to the show, as well as continue sending us feedback so we can continue improving the show. Got some mealy mouth there. I have to work that one out. Also, if you're not a premium member, definitely check that out. The NFL Draft Guide is more or less being released right now. We're doing team previews right now to get you guys ready, and then the Draft Guide will be launched in a couple of weeks. So check out the All Sport Pass and keep an eye out for a promotion that's going to be coming out in the next couple days or weeks, not sure exactly when, but if you get that price now and you keep your membership active, you get to keep it for life. So folks are really taking advantage of that. Follow us online at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A, at Aaron Brewski, at Sports Ethos, at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Send us a message. Let us know what you think. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines.
With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.